FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's AURYNResources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 2/21/19. And as the months move along in the new year, which isn't so new any longer, it looks like the market has recovered somewhat, getting close to, if not surpassing at this moment, to 26,000. And for a market that was written off for dead, that might not be too bad, but is it a dead cat bounce, a bear market bounce, or is it real? Well, person about to hear from has his opinion. His name's John Grace. We welcome to the show, John. So the market, is it heading back down, or are we going to hallelujah land?
Well, I sure wish I could see the future, Kerry. I think we'd all like to be able to do that. And the way I look at it is I suggest to folks that they enjoy the melt up, but prepare for a meltdown. If we look at just what happened in this fourth quarter, right, 2018, well, let's just look at 2018. Took off like a rocket, hit a new high on the 26th of January, 2018, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Did not hit another high until September 21st. I think that first high was 26.6. The second was 26.9. Not a big difference between the two, but let's just look at how long it took for that first high to be overtaken. And then in short order, September 2021 through Christmas Eve, what did we see? A 20% decline that astounded everybody because it was so fast. And the timing, of course, before Christmas, people are preoccupied with planning for the holidays. Didn't see this one coming. And then it felt like, how low can we go? Yes, it has turned around. If that's 20%, we need a 25% gain just to get back to that market high. I don't think it has happened yet. Now, we may see another run here, maybe 5, 10%. And everybody's going to be talking about all trees grow to the sky, except we know they don't. And we can see right before our very own eyes some things that are harrowing for ordinary people. Kerry, many of us are 3 months or more behind in our car payments. For our kids, the millennials, for the first time, the highest number of students are delinquent on their student loans. Those are ordinary folks. And then if we look at the winds coming across regarding the trade issues, well, they're not exactly comforting despite the efforts by the administration and the people who work in the White House to say, hey, everything's just fine. We're working on a great deal. It's going to be the best thing ever. Those are all rumors. So to the extent that those rumors turn either positive or negative in fact land, well, it's going to be more harrowing than anything we've been prepared for. So that's why I'm saying to folks, look, let's recognize how bad things can get and really assess what kind of loss you can accept as an investor, and then see if you can design the portfolio in such a way that it might perform within your risk parameters. That way you can let go of the news or the noise, let the market do whatever the heck it might do, but it doesn't have to take your money down like the Titanic.
Yeah, so it's all about risk management. Does risk management entail staying in the market or getting out into alternative investments? What are you supposed to do?
Well, what we like to do is really give folks a chance to answer those questions, because one of the things the market, the industry does is we say, Carrie, are you conservative, moderate, or aggressive? Okay, those are nice three little sleeves that nobody understands. And the funny thing is a lot of people think I'm conservative, but when we look at the portfolio, we can test it to see how aggressive it might perform. We can look to see how it performed in 08, for example. That's an indicator. We can look to see what might happen if the markets become unglued right before our very eyes. And when we're sitting with folks where they run through these questions, like one couple yesterday discovered that they could live with an 8% loss, and then we test the portfolio but see that it could be down as much as 43%, they're both looking at each other like, oh, well, that's not what we want. So you can see what I'm saying, that the folks often think we're conservative investors, but our portfolios may be turning against us. We won't know that until things come up upside down. So let's see what we can do to identify the loss folks can live with. That there's, we don't expect anybody to know that, but the questions you can answer do help you find that out. And then, as I say, design a portfolio where you can see, did it work within, did it fall within my range in 08, for example? If it did that in 08, it might do that in the next time things get ugly, no matter how soon or how long it might take for that to happen. But as I say, I don't want to wake up because I'm busy trying to live life and survive, and then wake up and discover that when I need the money the most to take withdrawals, now it's on 20, there. 40, 50, 60%.
Yeah. So, yeah, how big a hit can you afford to take? A lot of that is determined on the time of your life, meaning your age and your earnings. Are you at peak earnings, or are you building up? Because obviously, if you're younger and you're not at peak earnings yet, you might be able to be a little more risky and take a little more risks, be a little bolder. But if you're 70 and your retirement's right around the corner, and you know you're going to have to live off of your savings, then it's a whole different ball of wax there, isn't it?
Absolutely. We were talking with good clients where there's 1.3 in retirement accounts, and they're about 4 years away from wanting to start making work optional. So they're going to look to have about $72,000 would be their annual income that they'd like to derive in 2018 dollars. Now, all that looks fine. And right now, when we look at their probability for success, it's at 84%. That looks really strong. However, if for any reason whatsoever, they were to wake up sometime soon where what was 1.3 million drops to 700,000, their probability for success suddenly drops to zero. Mm-hmm. Really? So what, to your point, if you were working and making contributions when we saw declines like 00 to 02 and then again 08 to 09, you could afford to weather those kinds of hurricanes or storms because you don't need the money. You, in fact, you're making contributions. You're buying more shares. You can buy the bounce because you have the cash. But if the cash is at a certain level and now we have to start taking withdrawals, I'm submitting that we want to do everything possible to limit the losses to, let's say, no more than 20%. The math is pretty simple. If for whatever reason the loss and the withdrawal is a total of 20%, we only need 25% to get back to even. If, on the other hand, the market's off, the hurricane takes peak to trough, 08, 09, off 57%, and you take 3%, now that's minus 60%, you got 40 cents on the dollar. Now the odds of outliving the money suddenly get very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how hard is it to do one of these portfolio checkups?
Well, you know, on my site, there is, if you look at the site and at ybpoor.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little word that says that we made up riskometer. And there, when you click there, there's two parts. At the top, I give a three paragraph, usually no more than that. I'm really trying to keep it short and sweet. Just an observation of what I think are the good news and the bad news as far as the market is concerned. And this is, we're looking out for the next 3 to 6 months or so. Below that, got a great quote from Warren Buffett: risk is not knowing what you're doing. Thank you. Summarized that beautifully. Right below there, there is a little bar that says, what's your number? So that's what you click on. There are four or five, like maybe five or six questions that you get to answer for yourself to discover, probably for the first time, can I live with a 14% loss, let's say to begin with, and a 14% gain? And it shows the loss in terms of percentages and dollar amounts. So everybody can see exactly the game that's being played here. So there'll be four or five other questions that follow that to kind of narrow it down. And then that's when we were able to see what you're saying you can live with as a loss. Then we go to work to design the portfolio that can be customized 100% to within your parameters, and then back tested with real numbers to recognize, let's see, did this portfolio do better or worse than what you imagined, or with the current portfolio, which, as I say, regardless of age, often has more risky assets in it than people recognize, and may have performed in ways in like an 08 that they don't remember. Markets off 37%, their accounts off 42%, that you might have been able to afford real well when you're making contributions in 08, but it's 10 years later and maybe you're now even 70 and you have to start taking withdrawals that only increase from traditional retirement accounts for the rest of your lives. Now, but that loss, that same loss that you weathered last time, probably it would be a tsunami this time.
Yeah. So it's all relative and there's no cookie cutter solution for anyone. It all depends on your time of life and all those other factors that we talked about. So
this is true. There's no cookie cutter, but let me submit that there are a couple of things that we've seen. Mm-hmm. When we were able to call folks on Christmas Eve and say, Carrie, I imagine you're looking at the news and you've been watching this market drop 20%. We're looking at your account in real time and we wanted you to know how bad your account is looking right now. And then, first of all, they're astonished. What are you're working on Christmas Eve? You must be calling with very bad news. Actually, we're calling with good news. Can I give you the news?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Well, your account's off like 6%. Oh, that's not so bad. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the reason that happened is it wasn't luck. It wasn't divine guidance. It was simply adding two pieces to the equation that I hardly recommend people do. First, as I say, look to see how bad it got. Then look to see how you can add more asset classes to the equation. Many people believe that they're 100% diversified. And that might be true in their mind, but in reality, whatever the combination of ETF, exchange-traded funds and mutual funds there might be, it's not uncommon for investors to be allocated 60% stocks and 40% bonds. It's mm-hmm. pretty typical.
Yeah, typical allocation.
Whatever that ratio might be, that's two asset classes. So we have we went back to see what could we use as an example to add an additional asset class or two. And so instead of just being 60% stocks and 40% bonds, we went back to 2000 and looked at that starting point, both from the standpoint of buy and hold and hold and withdraw, right? In one case, you didn't need the money. How did you do? In the second case, you had to take withdrawals. How could you kept, you're in the game. So by making the portfolio, keeping the 60% stocks and keeping only 20% in bonds, and then the third leg being 20% in a real estate index, Shiller real estate. So 60% stocks, 20% bonds, 20% real estate. We see this gets fascinating because the declines in using those three asset classes in 08 and also in 02 were in both cases not more than 20%. In fact, slightly less than 20%. So that's an improvement. And if I'm not mistaken, from starting with $1 million in January of 00, by 12/31/18, with the all stock portfolio, you ended up with $1.76 million. That's a good number. That's a buy and hold strategy. Nobody would be disappointed. If, on the other hand, you had three asset classes, then the account value was approximately $2.2 million. About a $400,000 difference. And it's not because we took on more risk. It's because we accepted less losses so we could more easily recover. Now, so that's the buy and hold. If we were to take withdrawals from the same starting point of $1 million, assuming you had that and you did retire on January 2000, and then you kept that money in 60% stocks, 40% bonds, by 12/31/18, you've taken out $1 million from the starting point of $1 million, but the account is underwater about $5,600. So you're in the red. You've run out of money. If, on the other hand, we took the same scenario where we added that third leg to the portfolio, 60% stocks, 20% bonds, 20% Case-Shiller real estate index, the account's at about $518,000 year in 2018. And you, in both cases, you withdrew $1 million. But in one case, you had the first case, we have nothing left. And in the second case, we have about $500 million left. Well, we're still in the game. Life isn't as good as it was, but we're not dead broke. Thank goodness. So that's the first suggestion. Look to add additional asset classes. There's no perfect asset class. You want to look at those that may work for you. But if you don't look, you won't see anything. And just holding on to the same old, it may disrupt the apple cart. So step one is additional asset classes. Step two is active management, so that if the money's in stocks or bonds or silver or gold and it's in tradable assets, you want folks who are looking at your money every day asking this question: risk on, risk off. Are we adding fuel to the fire, or are we putting water on this fire? So as an extreme, let's suppose you were 100% invested in January of 08, but finished 12/31/08 100% in cash. So while you were busy, the portfolio didn't continue to hold shares, let's say, of stocks. The shares were sold throughout the year at various intervals, on weekly or daily or back to back, as the volatility continued to unfold. Instead of holding shares, shares were sold, cash was put into the account. So now you may have started the year with 5% of the portfolio in cash, finished the year with 60 to 100% in cash. Totally risk off. Let's just get out altogether, watch the movie unfold, and then notice about March 9th, 2009, now we have upward volatility, we have dry powder, this money sitting in money market accounts. Now we can move it back into risk assets. So these are real numbers. The loss in 08 might have been 20% or less, 19.85 on a typical 60-40 stock portfolio. 60-40 stock and bond portfolio. But then we're now fully invested, so that it's back to 60, 70, 80% stocks in this example. And 2009, where the market's up 26%, oh my goodness, we lost, let's say, 20 in 08. We got 26 in 09. Hallelujah. We have, right? We now we see a nice bounce in our portfolio. You have more money, roughly 12/31/09, about a year or two or so, than you had 1/1/08. The traditional asset classes, the mutual funds and the exchange traded funds, may have taken 3 or 4 years to get back to even. So yeah. Notice again, by limiting those losses, we have the chance to recover faster and get the account back to where it was, as opposed to live with a lot less.
Yeah. And that's a good thing, because you're going to have ups and downs. Life, just like the stock market, is a roller coaster, and you got to be ready at the up point, the high point, when that car starts heading downward, free fall. You got to be ready for it so that it doesn't destroy you. And too many of you out there don't do it. Anyways, John, want to find out more about you, connect with you on the web. Where do we go?
YBPoor.com. It's been 40 years, and I think I'm just getting started. Sorry.
So all right.
It's easy. Yeah, easy to remember. Some people try to make it letters. There's three words: YBPoor.
Very easy to remember. Good branding. Hey, got any questions for John, myself? Just email us, kl@carrylutz.com. Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. You're listening on a podcast, you are listening / watching on YouTube, then please subscribe, like, and share us. It really helps me a lot when you do it. Helps get the message out for the show, helps bring it to more people who desperately need to hear these things. John, really appreciate you coming on. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure, Kerry. Look forward to seeing you next time.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.